Hi, listeners. It's time again for another Cliff and Kendall classic episode from the vault. This week, it's episode number 89, live from Folsom Prison. This was during our Sassy Back tour when we go behind bars and pull a Johnny Cash. We have cop talk, inmate participation, things you should know, is it Cliff or Kendall, bad jokes, and a performance by the Ransom Notes. So here we go, Cliff and Kendall in Folsom Prison.
Hello, we're Cliff and Kendall.
Well, here we are a-comin' around the bend. Seems like we've been on tour since I don't know when.
We're here in Folsom Prison, just trying to bring Sassy back. Well, don't you try and stop us, or else we might attack. When he was just a baby, Kendall's mama told him, son, you are such a good boy, here have a honey bun. Backstage now I saw him, I watched him eat a pie.
Well, when I see my waistline growing, I hang my head and cry. Now Cliff is always eating them good old fiber bars, and he's always looking at pictures of naked stars.
Well, Kendall, I got it coming. I know that sass ain't free.
Well, Cliff, don't be so crude. You know it tortures me.
Good afternoon, Folsom! We are Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, who grew up and branched out and went on a Bringin' Sassy Back world tour. We have come to jail today to bring you some bits of humanity baked into a cake. Take it, kiddo.
Well, we're here in Folsom Prison. I can tell by the signs. Hello, all you jailbirds out there sitting in straight lines.
Yes, hello, Folsom Prison. That's where we want to stay. Now, Kendall, let's get sassy and blow their blues away.
Thank you. Hello, all you prisoners out there.
Oh,
hey, Cliff.
Hey, and hello, Folsom Prison, even though I already said it 10 times. Hello, Folsom Prison.
Hey, Folsom Prison, hey. Cliff, did you ever think we'd be doing a show at Folsom Prison?
Kendall, and when I was younger, I often thought I would be in Folsom Prison, but I didn't think I'd be doing a show here.
Well, you are in Folsom Prison right now.
I thought I'd be here for murdering the Pope. For Pope Slaw.
Did you enjoy the cavity search that we had to have on the plane?
Kendall, I don't like that you think I enjoy cavity searches so much.
That was a no reference to anything other than just a joke.
Other than, well, Cliff must like all having all his cavities searched.
Doesn't everybody like having their cavity searched?
Everybody likes a good cavity search. Clean them out. It's like a full body cleanse is what it is. Right, well, am I right, prisoners?
You're right, Cliff.
I know.
Well, I'm exhausted. We have been so many cities. Oh, we've been everywhere, Cliff. We've been everywhere, man. We've been everywhere.
I know. And my allergies are acting up because we've been on the road so much.
Yeah, well, you need to be taking vitamins and sinus pills or something.
I need some... I don't want to plug.
I was gonna say sir, but I said sinus pills. We'll have to bleep that out.
We'll have to bleep it out.
Well, I couldn't bring a real dinger in because it was construed as a weapon. But, so yeah. I have a digital dinger here.
Oh.
So.
Kendall, did you ever think as a young boy you would have a digital dinger?
Oh, you're so funny, Cliff.
I don't even know what that meant, but I thought it. Digital dinger sounds really good, doesn't it?
I don't know. It sounded pretty funny to me.
Good. Oh, my God. Well, Kendall, we are in prison today.
Yes.
We are in prison. And so I thought while we're in prison, we could talk about our own experiences with the law. Because we respect them, right, mm-hmm. prisoners?
Yes. Yes, right. Yes, we do.
Right. And so, but what, Kendall, have you ever had a close brush with the law?
I honestly don't think I have ever had a brush with the law. I mean, other than... What?
What a bitch you are.
My mama said I'm a good boy and she gave me a honey bun.
Bitch. I can't believe... Have you ever even had a speeding ticket?
No, I've never had any ticket other than a parking ticket here in LA. I'm a perfect citizen.
Perfect citizen.
Warden, did you hear me? I'm a perfect citizen.
Oh my God. Well, I've had 5 tickets.
Oh my God. Well, then we need to extend the show time so you can talk about all these tickets.
Well, I don't need to talk about all of them because one of them I talked about at length in our At the Beach episode.
Yeah.
Back in December, I got for running a red light. And then the other ones were for speeding. And one of them was on election day when I was on my way to pick up my grandmother to vote for John Kerry.
Uh-huh.
A lot of good that did. I'm glad I hurried so much.
Yeah.
That one was, and then I had 3 others. 2 of them were on my way to MTSU and back about 8 or 9 or 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And one of those was really bad because those were in the days when people had pagers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And somebody paged Heather. She doesn't even know this. She paged me, and I had to get my pager off of my pocket and look at her number, you know? And then I was trying to dial her number into the phone while looking at it in the pager, all while trying to drive down the road.
Yeah.
If this happened today, I would have been texting at the same time.
Yes, uh-huh.
But so I ran off the road and into the ditch in the middle, because it was interstate. And then I got back on the other side going the wrong way down the interstate.
Oh my God.
And then I had to work my way back down the ditch and back onto the right way. But luckily, now, there was luckily is that this was a road that nobody ever drove on. I would drive on this road and I wouldn't pass anybody for miles and miles and miles. But I happened to do all this right in front of a parked police car. But I have to hand it to our boys in blue. Every time I have been stopped, they've been very polite.
Yeah.
They've been so polite, I can't really get mad at them.
Which, okay, did you ever tell me this before?
I tell it a lot on first dates. So probably.
I don't think you ever told me. Yeah, I don't ever remember you telling me a story about you going on Nicole Richie on the road.
I did. It was like now, I was adopted by Lionel Richie there for a minute.
But now speaking of that, yesterday on the news they were showing this clip. I don't know if you've seen it from England of the commercial where these girls get in a crash from texting.
No.
Oh, it's a big news story. It's all over the news.
Is it a bigger news story than Michelle Obama's shorts?
I haven't heard that.
My mind has been too controlled by Michelle Obama's shorts. I can't think of anything else.
I guess it is because I didn't hear about the shorts. But they said, you know, the UK did this commercial and it shows these girls texting and they get in a very, very, very violent crash and it shows it. And just to try to, you know, promote safety on the road, not texting. So it's funny you brought that up. But
so
also in the news, Ted Kennedy died last night. Isn't that sad?
I know. That is sad. Rest in peace, mm-hmm. Senator.
He's going to be up on cloud to cloud anytime.
He will. Talking about his many accomplishments.
Oh, yeah.
Kendall, there's a prison matron over there trying to hand you something. What is
oh,
that?
Oh, let me take that. Here, read it, Cliff.
Oh, we have a message here. For prisoner 8675309,
uh-huh.
You are wanted in the warden's office.
Whoa,
somebody's in trouble. Trouble with the warden.
Somebody is in trouble. I would not want to be going to the warden's office.
Kendall, when you were in school, did you ever have to go to the principal's office?
And I can't remember if I ever... That's my only run-in ever with any kind of thing.
What?
And let me tell you, I don't know if I've told this on the show before. My aunt used to sell t-shirts at flea markets, right?
Okay.
And so she would get all these designs from vendors, these iron-on transfers, and print them onto shirts and sell them at flea markets. So she would give me whatever shirts I wanted. And she had this big collection of Looney Tunes. This is back, like, in, I guess, late 80s, early 90s, you know.
Right.
When they were really big.
I had those. I had like ones with the Flintstones on them.
Right, right. It was that
where they look like hip-hop stars.
Yeah, and but she had real funny ones like Bart Simpson in this woman's breast. And it's like, dude, or so. I don't know. So, you know. Anyway, so I picked several Looney Tunes when I wanted. And I was on this this news show at our middle school, at Glencliff Middle School, elementary school, excuse me. And so I was about to go on the air, and the principal came up to me, and he ran the thing, and he was like, Kendall, I need you to come to my office real quick. And I was like, oh, what do I do? I was like ready to cry. I was so scared. And so I went to the office, and he said, you need to call your mother and tell her to bring you a different shirt since you're going to be on the air to wear. And I was like, why? I said, it's just Looney Tunes. And I did not know, but Bugs Bunny was standing there with a big marijuana leaf, huge, right in the middle of the shirt. And I don't think I knew it or my mother knew what it was. But, you know, it was, and I don't even think my aunt knew as she was selling it. But I wore this marijuana leaf.
Stoner. You stoner.
I know. I had no idea. And I really, I think even after he told my mother to bring me a shirt, I had no idea why he made me change.
Well, those were a strange phenomenon, those shirts, because it was the Looney Tunes and the Flintstones and like Scooby-Doo and stuff, but they were all like hip-hop people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had several that had, I know one that had like Fred Flintstone on it. And my stepmother, she said, oh, I don't like that one because he has a peace necklace on, like has a peace sign on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, oh, you're against peace now, huh? Is what I thought as 8 years. And she said, oh, I don't like it because the peace sign is an upside-down broken cross.
Oh.
Can you get over that?
I can't get over that.
Oh, Kendall, the prison matron is handing you something else.
Oh, okay. Here, read this.
I know you don't have your glasses on, so let me read
it. I don't. I've got to go to that doctor.
Prisoner number 55555556. Oh, Kendall, you've got a phone call. Prisoner, you have a visitor in conjugal visit trailer number 7.
Whoa.
Or should I say number trailer 69? Whoa!
Watch out. Oh, man.
Uh-oh, do you know what time it is? That's right, Folsom!
Hey, Cliff.
Hey, Kendall and Folsom!
It's time for some bad jokes behind bars.
Oh,
Cliff, why don't you start us off this week with a really bad joke?
Okay, I've got a really bad one. Okay, this is for the prisoners, because, Kendall, you know, prison gets a little raunchy. I don't know if
yes,
you know.
It does.
About all the soap dropping and what goes on, but prison gets a little bit raunchy. It's like the army in that way.
Yeah.
But so, okay, a guy walks into a pub and sees a sign hanging over the bar that reads, cheese sandwich $1.50, chicken sandwich $2.50, hand job $5.
Ooh.
And Kendall, the guy, he checks his wallet for the necessary payment, and he walks up to the bar and beckons to one of the three exceptionally attractive blondes serving drinks to an eager-looking group of men. Yes, she inquires with a knowing smile. Can I help you? I was wondering, whispered the man, are you the one that gives the hand jobs? And she says, yes, I am. Real sexy like that.
Yeah.
And the guy, he says, well, wash your fucking hands. I want a cheese sandwich.
I just heard that joke somewhere.
Did you?
I did. God, I heard that somewhere, and somebody, I had to explain it to them because I didn't get it.
Oh my God, you explaining jokes?
I know, could you believe that? I've got to remember where I heard that. I'll try to think about it. Anyway, okay, my joke. A man with a bad stomach complaint goes to his local doctor and asks him what he can do. Now, the doctor replies that the illness is quite serious. Whoa, my bad joke music got out of control there. The doctor replies the illness is quite serious, but he can be cured with a small course of 2 suppositories inserted deep into the back passage. I can't speak.
Deep. Get them deep.
Deep. So the man agrees, and so the doctor warns him of the pain, tells him to bend over, and shoves the thing way up into his behind.
Oh, my God.
Now, the doctor then hands him the second dose and tells him to do the same thing in 6 hours' time using rubber gloves and KY jelly or something. So the man goes home, and later that evening tries to get the second suppository inserted, but finds that he cannot reach himself properly to obtain the required depth. So he calls his wife over and tells her what to do. And the wife nods, puts her hand on one shoulder to steady him, and with the other, shoves the medicine home. Now, suddenly, the man screams in disgust And she says, "What's the matter? Did I hurt you?" And he says, "No, but I just realized that when the doctor did that, he had both hands on my shoulder."
Oh. And now I bet some people in our audience, some of the guys, they know about that, don't they? Let's hear it for the prison bitches out there. Oh, yeah. All right, now, Kendall, you are not going to like this one.
Oh, no.
You are not going to like it. Now, a coroner came out of his lab to talk to his boss about the body he was attending to. And the coroner said to his boss, "In all my years of working here, I've seen some pretty odd stuff, but nothing as weird as what I have in the lab." "What's wrong?" asked the boss. "Well, there's this really obese woman with a shrimp stuck in her vajayjay."
Oh my God.
"What? Are you sure?" the boss cried. "Yeah, go see for yourself," the guy said. After the boss checked the obese woman's dead vagina, he shouted, "My God, you're an asshole. That wasn't a shrimp, that was her clitoris." "Oh," the guy says. "Well, it tasted like shrimp."
Ugh. You're right, I didn't like it.
Isn't that awful?
That's awful. Oh, jeez. I gotta pray about that one.
Pray about it.
Okay, I don't know where to go from there. Okay. Now, this is a blonde joke, and I can tell blonde jokes because I'm married to a blonde, okay?
Okay.
Now, on a plane bound for New York, the flight attendant approached a blonde sitting in first class section and requested that she move to economy since she did not have a first class ticket. The blonde said, "I'm blonde, I'm beautiful, I'm going to New York, and I'm not moving." Now, not wanting to argue with the customer, the flight attendant asked the co-pilot to speak with the woman. And he came back and talked to the woman, asked her to move out of the first class section. And again, the blonde said, "I'm blonde, I'm beautiful, I'm going to New York, I'm not moving." So the co-pilot returned to the cockpit and asked the captain what he should do. And the captain, he says, "Well, I'm married to a blonde, and I know how to handle this." So he goes back to the first class section, whispered into the blonde's ear. She immediately jumped up and ran to the economy section, mumbling to herself, "Why didn't anyone just say so?" So, surprised, the flight attendant and the co-pilot asked what he said to her that finally convinced her to move from her seat. And he said, "I told her the first class section wasn't going to New York."
Oh.
Dumb blonde.
Well, I have one more, Kendall, and it is also on a plane.
Okay, I have three on a plane.
Oh, my God. The stewardess on a plane asks, a priest what he'd like to drink.
Uh-huh.
And the priest says, "I would like a dry martini." And she turns to a Baptist minister that's sitting right next to the priest and says, "Well, what would you like to drink?" And the minister indignantly says, "Well, I'd rather fornicate than taste whiskey." And the priest says, "Well, I didn't know we had a choice." See, you thought that was going to be about ejaculating on children's faces, didn't you?
Oh. This huge Air Canada jumbo jet, Cliff, is just coming into Pearson Airport in Toronto.
Oh, my goodness.
On its final approach. And the pilot comes over the intercom. He says, "This is Captain Johnson. We're on our final descent in Toronto. I want to thank you for flying with us today and enjoy your stay in Toronto." Well, the captain forgets to switch off the intercom, and the whole plane can now hear the conversation from the cockpit. And the co-pilot says to the pilot, "Well, Skipper, what you gonna do in Toronto?" Now, all ears are in the plane are listening to this conversation. And the skipper says, "Well, first I'm going to check into a hotel, go for a huge mega dump. Then I'm going to take that new stewardess out for supper, you know, the one with the huge tits. I'm going to wine and dine her, take her back to my room, and slip the old salami in." Well, everyone in the plane is trying to get a good look at the new stewardess. She is so embarrassed, she runs from the back of the plane and tries to get to the cockpit.
Did you say cocktit?
I did. She tries to get to the cockpit to get the intercom off. Now, halfway down, she trips over an old lady's handbag, and down she goes, and the old lady leans over and says, "No need to run, dearie. He's got to go for a shit first."
Oh.
That's the old broad. I think that was his potter butter butter churn.
Oh, God.
Well, that's all the time.
It's so nice. You had all those jokes on a plane for this show we're doing in prison.
I know. You would think I could have come up with some jokes on a plane from our episode.
We did on a plane. I think probably all those jokes were set in prisons. That we told
I think they were. We should refer back, listeners. And if it is, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com.
Well, now, speaking of email and messages, uh-huh. Kendall, there's a prison matron has another something for you over there.
I can't be reading. Here, Cliff, read this. I can't be reading all these notes on the set.
What if, let me see what this one says. Let's see. There's a message for prisoner 1718190. And it says, your appeal has been rejected by the governor, and the execution will be, carried out at midnight tonight.
That's terrible.
That is. Now, Kendall, I think that's awful, and I'm glad that this prisoner at least has us to spend his last afternoon with.
Yes, I am too. Just like our that other show, the other sassy tour that we did in Los Angeles where that person with cancer came
had cancer. It was filled with cancer patients, terminally ill people in there. But now, Kendall, I am against the death penalty. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I am too. I mean, well, first of all, I think you're sort of giving somebody an easy way out. I think if they commit a crime, make them suffer in jail.
I guess. Now, it's not much of a suffer when you have two big fat podcasters come put on a show like this one.
Well, only once in a blue moon. Every once in a blue moon.
It is. It is a blue moon right now. But now, I'm against it.
I am too.
I just think it's wrong.
Now, Cliff, if this tonight, you were going to the death penalty, what would you choose as your last meal?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I like Indian food. I like pizza. It would be a lot of something, is what it would be.
Well, mine would be probably an entire pizza.
Yeah.
And then a huge box of Velveeta macaroni and cheese in a bowl.
Oh, really?
With a dessert of banana pudding.
I was thinking maybe banana pudding, too. And like a banana pudding, one of Paula Deen's banana puddings, and a blizzard.
A blizzard.
Yeah.
Oh, with some honey chipotle sauce on top.
Some chips and salsa, definitely.
Oh, see our meal they would never be able to kill us because our meal would go on.
We would never stop eating.
We'd never stop eating.
The rapture would come before we would stop eating.
Oh, we have a new thing that we're going to do. It's called the Question of the Week with Cliff and Kendall. And so, all of our listeners, we want to ask you the question: what would you eat if it was your last meal? So, listeners, if you want to call. Called this number, area code 818-308-4FAT. That is 818-308-4328. The phone lines are now open. So call us.
And we will play your voicemails on the air next week. And prisoners, if you have just one phone call to make,
call our number.
This would be it.
Yep.
This would be it. Now, well, I can't wait. That's 818-308-4, the number 4, FAT, for our calls. But now, Kendall, did you know people here in Folsom, they're not just being put away and thrown away. They are rehabilitating is what they're doing.
Yeah.
And one way to rehabilitate is to sing. If you sing out your problems, did you know that there's such a thing as sing therapy?
Well, we try to do therapy all the time with our singing.
Oh, I know. We got to therapize ourselves every day.
Yes.
But now, Kendall, there is a group of Folsom men here, and they call themselves the Ransom Notes. And they They are here to sing a song for us. So everybody out there in the audience, give it up for the Ransom Notes.
I am bound for that bright city, where the street is paved with gold, where in peace I'll dwell forever, all the joy can ne'er be told. For you to go, are you ready? summons,
for that summons.
Here's your robe,
made white as snow.
That was great from the ransom notes. That was
weren't
wonderful.
They wonderful?
They Kendall, were.
They're all serial killers.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. If you're a serial killer, you still have to make a living in prison. You have to make your money.
We were talking about rehabilitation. I think it's working for the ransom notes.
Okay, Cliff, we should have a prisoner come up and help us with our segments. How about
all
we?
Right.
I've got all the prisoners' numbers here in this hat, and
we're gonna choose.
We're gonna rifle through all these numbers here, and we're gonna pull out.
I love picking things from a hat. Can I tell you that?
I need it here. Pick it, Cliff.
Okay. All right. I got it here. Now you read it. I don't wanna read it. I'm too nervous.
All right. This is inmate 514212.
Oh my God.
Let's give a hand for him. Come on up here. Hey there, inmate.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's your name, and what are you doing time for?
Oh, no, Kendall, the warden said not to ask what they're in.
Oh, okay, sorry, never mind. This is inmate, just as the number. So we're going to do our segments here with you. What's up first, Cliff?
First, I would like to ask, we have this question of the week. I would like to know, this inmate is not on death row, but if he were, what would he want his last meal to be?
Right. What if you had a choice of a last meal, what would it be?
Oh, wow. Well, let's see. I'd start out with a nice slab of Memphis ribs and a Coke. And,
all right.
Nice, cool Coke.
Ribs and a Coke.
In a glass
No
bottle.
Diet Coke for you. Well, why?
No.
Not why on your last meal.
This is my last meal. I don't have to worry about any weight.
I'd have a root beer float.
I'm not, you know, I won't have to worry about it like you guys.
Oh.
Ouch. That hurt.
He said that to your face.
From this inmate. We're going to be here in prison after we leave. Okay.
First up, we're going to be playing a new game show that we chose you, Folsom Prison, to debut. It's called Is It Cliff or Is It Kendall?
All right. Well, here we go.
I think it's Cliff.
It's time for our newest game show, Is It Cliff or Is It Kendall? And now we have a special inmate here to answer that question. Is it Cliff or is it Kendall?
Okay, so the premise of this game show is I'm going to say a statement, and then you, inmate, will just say whether you think it was Cliff or whether it was Kendall. And I want you to know, we are playing. Every correct answer you give us this afternoon translates to 1 month taken off of your sentence.
Yes!
That's wonderful. Let's see how many he can get correct.
Three life sentences if I get every question correct. What does that amount to?
Maybe
two and a half life sentences. Yes,
maybe they'll sneak you a popsicle. So,
All right.
All right, Cliff. So you go ahead and start asking the questions.
The first statement is, this host read the 7th Harry Potter book in its entirety in less than 24 hours.
Cliff.
Right! That's a month off. That's a month off. Okay. This host played a pivotal role in his own high school musical version of Fiddler on the Roof.
Kendall.
That's one Sorry. More life sentence.
Now you're back to zero.
Just kidding. This host owns the 9-to-5 Broadway musical soundtrack.
Cliff.
What? Ouch.
Got Ouch. It right here on my my computer here in the prison.
Is it both?
No.
No. One of us is behind.
One of us is behind.
Well, you know, I am in prison, guys.
You are. Listen, he only gets a limited amount of computer time each week. How is he supposed to know? Okay, now this host has seen Garrison Keillor do a Prairie Home Companion live 3 times.
Kendall.
Oh, correct. That's a month off.
In Los Angeles, live.
Oh, that Kendall, do you love that game show?
I do. Is that all your questions?
That's all.
All right, wonderful. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope our inmate here did, too.
Oh, I hope so.
All right, so up next, Cliff, our next segment is Things You Should Know, correct?
Things Prisoners Should Know.
All right, wonderful. Oops, excuse me. It's time for the game show that makes you feel dumb. Things Inmates Should Know. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Kendall.
Oh my goodness, it's exciting to see that live, isn't it, prisoners?
They're very excited, Claire. All right, I'll start us off this time.
Start
Claire,
us
since
off,
you've
Kendall.
Asked so many questions last time.
God, okay. I'm tired of my own voice.
Inmate, this question is for you, our first question. Who are the three people that appear on the U.S. paper currency that are not presidents?
Three.
Ben
three.
Franklin.
Yes.
I know another one. Can he phone a friend?
No, we cannot phone a friend. This isn't Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Ulysses S. Grant?
Oh, no.
Oh, ouch.
I'll give you one thing. You got one right. Do you give?
I give.
Well, I was going to say is Alexander Hamilton, because he was the first U.S. Treasurer. You know how I know that, Kendall?
Yes, because our economic show?
No, because I saw John Adams on HBO.
Oh, right. You have all
That's
your
how I know. Anything I know about American history, I learned.
So Alexander Hamilton's on the $10 bill, Benjamin Franklin's on the $100, and Salmon P. Chase is on the $10,000, which is no longer in circulation.
Who the heck? Kendall, that is not... Give him a month off his sentence. That question is so stupid.
He is in prison. He has plenty of time to go to the library and read.
Oh, my God. Kendall, these prisoners are not as nice as I am.
Yeah, okay.
They stab each other all the time.
Okay, well,
go ahead with your question, Cliff.
Okay. Le Cordon Bleu is the name of a famous French cooking school, which literally means the blue what?
Sandwich? Yeah, because that's really something everybody should know.
I thought he had a cooking class. The Le Cordon Bleu. Have you heard of this famous French cooking school here in prison?
We don't get we pretty much just get square pizzas and fries in prison.
Oh,
so I do not know, but my best guess is cheese.
No, I'm sorry. Kendall, this is sad. We should have picked a more well-read prisoner. Who runs the prison library?
This means butter churned sister.
How can I learn French when I don't know how to read?
When he doesn't even know English. It means the blue ribbon.
Well, that doesn't even have to do with food.
I guess like it won a blue ribbon in the county fair. I don't know.
Okay.
I should get another month off for that.
He should. It's
okay,
right.
Another month off. We're giving him out like French fries here. Okay, inmate. Who was the former planet Pluto named after?
Salmon P. Chase.
Yes. No. Do you know it?
Somebody named Pluto.
No. I have no idea.
That would be the Roman god of the underworld.
I was
Pluto.
Gonna say some god. Some phony baloney god.
Alright, well what do you got, Cliff? What do you got?
Speaking of greatness, the great emancipator, Abraham Lincoln, was a president who I think was on some currency. But before he was the president, what was he?
This is Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah, what did he do before he was president?
He was a lawyer.
What a smart prisoner.
Another half-sentence song.
He must have seen the young Mr. Lincoln there in prison.
Actually, I did time in Illinois.
He did time in Illinois.
Ouch.
Okay, which 1934 Hitchcock film did he remake in 1956?
Oh, my God. Can I give them a hint?
Please.
Sure.
Yeah, judging by the number of questions you've already missed, this film was not about you. Am I right, Kendall?
What?
It's The Man Who Knew Too Much, right?
Yes. Was that a hint?
Well, it was more of a snide comment.
Yes, I have the answer. It is The Man Who Knew Too Much.
Yes, you are correct. Another half sentence off.
Good.
Like, I mean, quiz show.
Cliff, did you have another question?
I have one more. Do we have time?
Yes, one more. Go ahead.
All right. Acid rain is a solution of water, nitric acid, and what other compound? And quick, this is a multiple choice. Is it carbolic acid, sulfuric acid, or battery acid?
I'm going to go with sulfuric acid, Wink.
That's right! That's right!
I thought it was battery acid.
Oh, Kendall, you're so stupid!
And that's all the time we have today for Things You Should Know. Join us next time for more things that inmates probably really shouldn't even care about.
Really? He should. Don't feel bad. We don't know half the things.
Those were some pretty stupid questions.
I want to go back to myself. Oh.
Those were some pretty stupid questions.
But you know what makes people feel better after those stupid questions? Some real stupid
some
questions.
More stupid questions?
And you can't get these wrong.
It's time for Kendall's Stupid Questions. All right, Cliff.
Now, I want to answer some, too. Did you get some for me?
I just happened to get enough for both of you.
Thank the good Lord above.
All right, I'm going to start here with our inmate. Now, inmate, who will be unnamed, if you could bring to life any fictional character from a book or movie, whom would you choose?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, I know. It's a stupid good question.
I would bring to life Charlotte from Lost in Translation.
Oh.
Because she is awesome, and she is hot because she's Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson is hot. I concur.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw up over here.
If your taste buds could be altered so that the taste of any one food would be dramatically intensified whenever you ate it, which food would you choose?
I would make lettuce delicious.
That's what I knew you were going to say that. Because I would, too. I would make all vegetables the most wonderful thing I've ever eaten in my life.
I would say, get out of my way. I've got to eat a head of lettuce. I've only had four today.
All right, inmate. One more for you. If the daytime high temperature had to be exactly the same every day of the year, what would you want the temperature to be?
68.
Oh, my God, he's right.
He is right?
I was getting ready to say wrong. But he's right. That's what I was going to say.
I was going to say 69.
Well, you're a filthy moron.
No, because I like the temperature of 69. Cliff, if you were to write a book that had no underlying joke behind it, a book, what would you choose as the topic?
If I read a book?
If you were to write a book, what would you choose as the topic?
Well, oddly enough, I have written a book. And
if you were to write another book.
Okay. If I was to write another book, I would make it the Cliff and Kendall story, obviously.
Oh, there wouldn't be enough paper in the world to contain Cliff and Kendall on the pages.
A sass to bitches. Story.
That's all the questions I have for you today here at Folsom Prison. So I want to thank our inmate for coming up here on stage and being such an integral part of the Cliff and Kendall show, the Bringing Sassy Back Tour.
It's not easy to get up on stage, Kendall, and just answer questions in front of all these all of his contemporaries.
It's not.
Thank you, Cliff and Kendall, for bringing a little ray of sunshine to my otherwise dark and miserable prison life.
Isn't that nice?
Anytime.
Kendall, you give him a free box of fiber bars.
Here you go. Here's your free box of fiber bars.
To sell
all right. D. Thank you, inmate. Thank you. All right, Cliff. Well, it's real sad that we don't have more time to spend with our inmate.
It is sad. It's you know so what else sad. Is sad.
You know what else is sad?
I do.
That sad, sad music. Everybody here is weeping. They're weeping uncontrollably because they're going to have to go back and have a strip cavity search on the way back to the cell.
It's back to solitary confinement.
Back to solitary confinement. Well,
they're back in the hole.
If our listeners are suffering through solitary confinement, you know where to check us out, cliffandkendall.com, where you can find links to all our other adventures online at Twitter and Facebook and MySpace. And
et cetera.
We're all over the place. We're so huge. And our new spinoff podcast, the Kathy Griffin Fancast, there you can find links to that as well. Cliff, do you have a quote?
I do. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Do not seek to follow in the footsteps of the men of old. Seek what they sought. And that was Matsuo Basho.
Okay. You made that name up.
I did.
All right, well, Cliff, why don't you take us home, out of prison, and back to the real world.
Take me home, out of prison, back to the real world. Cliff and Kendall, Folsom Prison, take me home, prison roads. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening.
We love you. We love all of you, prisoners, non-prisoners. We love you all. Good night. Good afternoon.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.